amusing to me because I do have a 17-year-old in my household, and it's about his generation, their new appreciation for the analog in the world, and for the ways in which they can enjoy their time without their phones. And obviously, this is not a mass movement that's taking fire the same way TikTok might, but there are young people who still.
Would you stop the scratching and give me a beat? Ouch! Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the hi-hat. Go on. That's good. Now the tambourine. Right now.
Hi, I'm Brianna from Colony. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre.
To the three extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or wgxc.org, any wgxc.org page. Click on the listen button. Here, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at wgxc.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the microphones in the Wave Farm pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather, the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons on any WGXC.org page. Click on the listen button to tune in your weather.
Wave Farms Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Accra, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Accra broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farms' International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farms Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org.
Now, from Survival comes an economical do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved and easy to assemble. Takes just a weekend.
Get maximum protection from nuclear fallout for your family.
See a Survival shelter today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Asia of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
These are dangerous times.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information on any of these stories. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that Catskill School Board member Ryan Oswald said recently that board members are not allowed to speak to anyone, including the press, regarding board business. The New York State School Boards Association recommends school boards not reply to public comments, but acknowledges that replying is allowed. At a Catskill School Board meeting on July 5th, second grade teacher and Catskill parent April Ormerod said, quote, "I regularly attend these board meetings, and yet so many things still come as a surprise to me. I learned recently that we've lost our special education director. This is the 11th director we've dealt with as parents of a child in this school district. Our daughter is only entering ninth grade. It's concerning, and we have to ask why. There's never any ability for discourse. How can the community become part of the discussion? How can the board represent our students, our families, and community members when there doesn't seem to be a chance for that? I'd like the board to consider how to begin to allow the community to be heard. How can the taxpayers and the parents and employees communicate with the board? Often I've heard members say they wish they knew or how they can find out, and my question is, how can we open that up? How can we engage the community so that we have a picture from the staff, the parents, and the community about the concerns going on?" Unquote. The Greenville School Board, by contrast, recently had a parent oppose a library book, and the board held a moderated session of open discussion groups where parents could openly voice their concerns through dialogue. So locally, it is possible for school boards to respond to the concerns of the community. Greenville School Board President Tracy Young said, quote, "We were happy to host the discussion groups. They were very well attended. The people shared from their hearts very respectfully and allowed the board to view things from many perspectives. All of the information was captured, and we had a mechanism that allowed us to capture feelings and sentiments that maybe weren't addressed by the specific questions that were on people's minds," unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. The Times Union reports that over 2 years after New York legalized cannabis, just the second Capital Region retail cannabis store opened July 7th in Rensselaer County. The Stage 1 dispensary is in the town of Rensselaer on the first floor of a former bank building where the vaults have been kept in their original condition and are being used to store inventory. The store is owned by Nathaniel Innes, Galena German Innes, Suji Mirsky, and Joshua Mirsky, who has run a recording studio in Albany for more than a decade. Another cannabis store opens July 8th in Broome County. Governor Kathy Hochul said, quote, "With these new dispensaries opening in New York, we are providing safer product to New Yorkers while furthering our ambitious goals for equity in New York's cannabis laws," unquote. But New York has been criticized for the slow rollout of retail sales, with no stores open yet in Greene, Columbia, Ulster, or Dutchess counties, and few opened anywhere in the state. Hochul has not yet signed a bill that would allow New York's more than 200 licensed growers to temporarily sell their crops to tribal nations across the state because the stores that were supposed to be open are not. Assemblyperson Donna A. Lupardo, a Broome County Democrat who chairs the Assembly's Agricultural Committee, said, quote, after months of uncertainty surrounding New York's adult-use cannabis market rollout, desperation is building among the state's cannabis farmers. They had been stranded with 250,000 pounds of unsold cannabis products from the 2022 season. The current pace of new retail openings will not resolve this issue, and this product is losing value every day as we wait, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And Mid-Hudson News reports that as of July 6th, the New York State Department of Labor no longer allows employers to impose mandatory overtime for nurses. Mandatory overtime for nurses is now only allowed in a healthcare disaster, a declaration of emergency, or when required for safe patient care, such as during an unforeseen emergency or an ongoing medical or surgical procedure. New York State Department of Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon said, quote, this new law prevents burnout and empowers these essential workers to continue providing exceptional care to New York families statewide, unquote. Employers must notify the Department of Labor if they do impose mandatory overtime because of an emergency situation. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
New apartments on the market in Pulaski are the latest development aimed at reducing New York's housing shortage. Selkirk Landing consists of 44 affordable homes for families and seniors, along with 20 homes with supportive services to house adults who have been homeless. A Rural Housing Coalition of New York report finds most rural towns have vacancy rates twice that of their urban counterparts. But this project got off to a bumpy start back in 2019. Marion Naramore with the Oswego Housing Development Council describes a lukewarm initial response to Selkirk Landing.
When people hear that anything new is coming into their community and it's not business, it's apartment, sometimes they get a little upset. And we wanted to present it as best as we could that it would be for the better of the community.
Another challenge was beginning work just as the COVID-19 pandemic began. But Naramore notes getting people together and bringing materials to the site were obstacles quickly overcome. An Associated General Contractors of America survey found 74% of contractors saw New York projects halted or postponed by the pandemic. One issue plaguing rural New York is the aging housing stock. The Rural Housing Coalition of New York says about one-third of homes were built prior to 1940. Naramore says other issues factored into the need for constructing these apartments.
After looking at everything in the surrounding area of Oswego County and looking at incomes and looking of what has been built around the area, there hasn't really been much housing going up.
Oswego County's Opportunities, Inc. notes housing is a critical need in the area, particularly affordable housing. The agency's most recent report found around 35% of Oswego County residents live in households with incomes below 200% of the federal poverty level. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
After the July 4th fireworks, history itself is still under attack. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast.
What to the American slave is your 4th of July?
So asked Frederick Douglass, speaking to the Rochester Ladies Anti-Slavery Society on July 5, 1852. Douglass escaped slavery around the age of 20, and by the time he gave this speech at 34, was a renowned abolitionist, author, and orator.
I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham.
Douglass's powerful words and tireless organizing helped educate and mobilize the nation for abolition, to support the Underground Railroad, and ultimately to wage an incredibly costly civil war to permanently stamp out slavery. His words, indeed his life, stand as a striking example of why we need a deep, critical understanding of our unvarnished national history if we hope to address the problems that now confront us. Yet a well-organized movement is spreading to obscure and obliterate much of our history, to ban books, and to compel the teaching of a sanitized rendition of our difficult and often bloody past. One of the seminal texts that focuses on ignored or suppressed U.S. history is the classic book by the late historian Howard Zinn, A People's History of the United States. Since its publication in 1980, more than 4 million copies have been printed. The book presents a sweeping account of everything from the genocide perpetrated by Christopher Columbus to the forgotten heroes and the struggles for labor rights, women's rights, and the peace movement. The book became so popular that Zinn and publisher Anthony Arnov put out a companion volume, Voices of a People's History of the United States, packed with source material, including writings, speeches, and more from scores of historical figures that have mostly been shut out of the orthodox histories, the major media, the standard textbooks, the controlled culture, as they write in the book's introduction.
When I became a historian, I already knew that I was not going to be neutral.
That's Howard Zinn explaining the book on the Democracy Now! NewsHour in 1999. Zinn and Arnov began producing live readings from Voices, with prominent actors and writers presenting these historical texts, bringing them to life. Oscar winner James Earl Jones presented Frederick Douglass's critique of the 4th of July in his well-known Basso Profundo.
At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour forth a stream, a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and the crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
Howard Zinn died in 2010, but his work continues. Anthony Arnov and Haley Pessin co-edited a new volume, Voices of a People's History of the United States in the 21st Century, Documents of Hope and Resistance. Like its predecessor, the book also covers movements, but from recent decades, including the opposition to the invasion and occupation of Iraq, to the uprising in Ferguson, Missouri, for racial justice, to Occupy Wall Street, the Me Too movement, and resistance to the Trump administration.
I was lucky to have A People's History of the United States as one of the textbooks that we read.
That's Haley Pessin speaking on Democracy Now!
I really read it voraciously in a way that no textbook had ever really grabbed my attention.
That very influence on young students is the target of the fast-growing far-right organization called Moms for Liberty. Claiming to have grown to 285 chapters with 100,000 members since its founding in 2021, the group seeks to control school curriculum, banning topics its white leadership deems offensive. Moms for Liberty just held its annual convention in Philadelphia, the birthplace of the U.S. Constitution and the first city Frederick Douglass reached in his daring escape from slavery in 1838. Most of the major GOP presidential contenders addressed the pro-censorship gathering, including Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, while thousands protested outside. As threats to free speech and the teaching of our nation's genuine history mount, it's worth recalling the answer Benjamin Franklin gave to a member of the public who asked him in 1787 about the new Constitution he'd just helped draft. Do we have a republic or a monarchy? Franklin replied, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
I'm Tom Rowan Acre with the WGXC weather forecast from the National Weather Service in Albany that's predicting a mostly partly sunny Saturday. There's a 30% chance of precipitation with chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly after 1 p.m. with a high of 85 and a wind from the northeast around 6 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Saturday night should be mostly cloudy with low around 65. Again, a 30% chance of rain. Sunday, the chance rises to 80%. Mostly, possibly a thunderstorm after 11 a.m. too, with a high of just 76. Wind from the southeast, 5 to 8 miles per hour, spinning local windmills. Sunday night, 1 to 2 inches of rain is possible when the day ends, with showers and thunderstorms continuing into the evening with a low around 64. Then on Monday, there's a 70% chance of showers again and possible thunderstorms after 11 a.m. with cloudy skies, a high of 77 and a low around 62. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Adelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Thank you.
Wayfarm's Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wayfarm's 29-acre campus in Accra, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Accra broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wayfarm's International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wayfarm's Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wayfarm.org.
You don't need much money to ride the silver train, just enough to keep yourself. Sleeping in the rain, satellites are chasing silver clouds away. Technicolor raindrops wash gumballs down the drain. Gonna leave the city, gonna hop a train tonight. Got a one-way ticket, the moon is shining bright. Gonna leave the city, gonna catch the Hudson line. Cause you know I love the city, but I haven't got the time.
Hudson Valley's Mercury Rev there from their 1998 classic album Deserter Songs. They are riding the Hudson line along the Hudson River on WGXC.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC morning show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Let's take a detour to the Oracle Feed and Seed on the corner of Packard and Porter, the only local feed and seed that sells both good coffee and psychic advice, along with 50-pound bags of dog food and horse inseminator syringes. The only local business that contains the true oracular power of the falls themselves. When things seem murky and unclear, stop in and buy 6 dozen baby chicks in a box, and ask the owners and proprietors, Agnes and Red Burbandonifon, about your future. Is that website you're working on going to be successful? Will you finally get that rare beanie baby from that jerk you continue to be friends with? Do the evil spirits that pursue you know how hot the real estate market is? Like, do they? It's so fucking crazy out there right now. Beyond the Western Door.
woman, I shall wear purple, with a red hat which doesn't go and doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say, we've no money for butter. I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired and gobble up samples in shops and press alarm bells and run my stick along the public railings and make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick the flowers in other people's gardens and learn to spit. You can wear terrible shirts and grow more fat and eat 3 pounds of sausages at a go, or only bread and pickle for a week.
Put your nose, or, like, I'm trying to find,
and hoard pens,
like,
and pencils, and beer mats, and things and boxes.
I can't do it. I can't find them on the internet.
But now we must have clothes that keep us dry, and pay our rent, and not swear in the street, and set a good example for the children. We must have friends to dinner and read the papers. But maybe I ought to practice a little now, so people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I am old and start to wear purple.
No, I mean, as a intuitive, you can't really see my room, right? I'm really kind of impressed, I guess. It's like,
the question is obvious and the answer is a secret. Just like usual. How
you guys turn into friends, so you can just actually be on a dating app looking for friends.
Man, everyone else is just like, yeah, I think it's a lot, man.
I was wondering, we have the website and everything. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I'm 33 years old.
He loosens his belt and shoestring.
He get that started,
covers his face with his hands and begins
I've
to
seen a lot of people
in a variety of circles.
That doesn't mean that you can't be on dating up, meet people.
Fit out the
I can see
that
they're getting all their phone down.
People,
and now,
snatching up an axe. He begins striking his head off the knees with it, and
swinging
it
right
in the
now.
Direction of the three women. He drags burning logs out of the fire with his naked hands. He dashes 3 times around each of the women and finally collapses, like a dead man. During the whole time, no one has been permitted to touch him. While he repossesses now in trance, he is to be watched so closely that not even a fly may settle
that's
upon him.
Harder to... yeah,
his spirit has departed,
I mean,
and he is viewing the sacred mountains with their inhabiting gods. The women in attendance whisper to each other, trying to guess in what part of the yonder world he now may be. If they mention the correct
that's
mountain, the shaman steers either a hand or a foot.
I mean,
at length, he begins to return. In a low, weak voice, he utters the words he has heard in the world below.
It's like a fountain of crazy shock.
Then the women begin to sing. The shaman slowly awakes, declaring both the cause of the illness and the manner of sacrifice to be made. Then he announces the length of time it will take for the patient to grow well.
When once thus securely provided with a warm house for the winter,
you have
the ichneum grub,
now
nearly full grown, proceeds to devour what remains of the unfortunate caterpillar
report
until occasionally no vestige of him remains. With this final weakness, the larvae reach their full size.
Yeah, it's fine, but it seems like nobody's here. Everybody else does the same way.
The cavity. The polyphemus cocoon with their bones.
So call back, and that lady is saying, call me back. I'm
solidly,
you know, at least it's not working, whatever that means. They're too busy. Everybody is too busy.
And eventually make their exit through small holes in the outer cocoon.
I mean, I can tell you a billion things, but.
And fly abroad to the terror of future
caterpillars.
I don't think everyone has the same talent.
Well, I'm 33, and I'm once again living in my parents' house, and I can see that they're getting old and slowing down, and they're asking me, when am I going to do this, when am I going to do that? You know, they're talking about getting a job, and they're really seeing the world
darkening slowly, and then lighten up, and then
not saying you, I'm just saying the world will push it, because everybody is not compassionate or empathy. And that lady is not very spiritual.
She passed away in 2007.
What then is our motto?
And it's like, it stop leading me on, saying to call back.
But a rapacious robber fly
And then when they call, when you finally have a chance to talk, they're not compassionate and they don't have empathy.
It hovers in the flowery haunts of
they don't want to talk because they're liars. It
wreaks havoc among the unsuspecting small fry. Among the insects.
Which nature, for some reason, has wonderfully disguised as a bumblebee. Makes havoc among the unsuspecting small fry, among the insects, or even among many nearly as large as itself.
Well, I felt
clutching them with its strong
legs.
When I got home, I knew what I wanted,
sucking,
even though I wanted blue. Everybody else is the same way.
Having been nicely calculated as a larder to carry him to a
call back, and that lady keeps saying, call me back. It's Jesus' birthday, whatever that means. They're too busy. Everybody's too busy.
Spider nest. While the cavity is now filled with a filmy brown cocoon, containing perhaps a plump white larva, perhaps a pupa, or maybe a steep blue slender-waisted wasp, just making its exit and fully prepared to tell you all about spiders, if you will only listen to his hum with proper understanding. So then, our dead spiders are not dead after all. A very little provocation in the way of a rude touch or jostle of any one of them will cause a perceptible tremor of the legs, even after weeks of confinement within this sealed blood chamber.
This wall is a
wonderful provision of nature
in this
potent city of the parent wasp to ensure a supply of fresh living food for its young until the completion of its growth.
Wasting time or not waste. This is back in 2007. I'm talking about when I was working and in my spare time.
About the whole thing.
Because I don't look on the internet to find, you know, that you can just go right to the internet. You can look. You know what beanie babies are? I'm aware.
Shivers running up and down my body.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Thank you.
former Columbia County resident, classical music star, and WGXC programmer Lincoln Mayorga passed away this week. It was announced by his family. Mayorga worked with all sorts of folks from the Moscow Philharmonic to Itzhak Perlman, recorded soundtracks for movies and TV, and in the 1960s had a minor pop hit working with the Piltdown Men on this song, The Brontosaurus Stomp.
Tom Rowe in Acre, looking over the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, where there are so many things to do, both virtually and in person. All kinds of events, and you can even add your own. There's an add an event button. You press that, and then fill in the blanks about your event information, and soon enough, folks like me will be reading about your event on the radio at 90.7 FM, and folks around the world will see it online in the community calendar at WGXC.org. Saturday, July 8th, there is a Justine Hummel Memorial Lecture at the Mountaintop Historical Society in Palinville from 10 a.m. to noon. The weekly Catskill Saturday Ukulele Jam is at the Catskill United Methodist Church every Saturday from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Bring your ukulele to jam away. Saturday, July 8th, the Breakers, a Tom Petty cover band, perform with the Eagles Experience at Ski Butternut in Great Barrington. The Hudson Valley Gospel Festival is at the Columbia County Fairgrounds from 5 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, July 8th. On Sunday, July 9th, the Hildy B. Eclectic Trunk Show is at Temple Israel of Catskill from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's a Great Barrington shop, giving portion of the sale proceeds to the Temple Israel of Catskill. There's also the traditional Irish music session at the Shamrock House every Sunday in East Durham. That's from 2 to 5 p.m. And Pete Wagula is performing at 2 p.m. Sunday, July 9th at the Cairo Public Library. He's playing a mixture of Delta blues, jazz, and all sorts of originals. There's also Summer Play Lab Sunday, July 9th at the Ankrum Opera House at 4 p.m. These are just some of the events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. So social media has been overrun with reports about yellow moths infestating the area. They've been spotted all up and down the Hudson River Valley. So much so that the city of Hudson put out a press release on the issue, a spongy moth advisory. And spongy moths were earlier known in a less politically correct time as gypsy moths. The Hudson statement says, regions across New York State are currently experiencing an outbreak of the spongy moth. The spongy moth is considered an invasive species known for its broad diet and potential to cause damage to plant life, particularly for shade trees. While a healthy tree can withstand some defoliation, locating spongy moths on your property can be serious but not necessarily fatal for affected trees. Please note that recommendations included in this advisory may protect individual tree or small areas, but they will not erase a local spongy moth population now or in future years. They tell you can identify adult spongy moth females as white with brown markings that resemble an inverted V pointing toward the head. Adult spongy moth males are brownish with black markings and have a wingspan of 1 to 1.25 inches. And these are the ones you see flying. The adult spongy moths most commonly lay eggs on trees, but masses can be found on the side of buildings, signs, trailers, and other outdoor surfaces. And the spongy moth egg masses are dark brown clumps protected by a light-colored fuzzy covering. Hatchling caterpillars are small, dark brown to black and fuzzy. As they grow, they lighten in color and have a display of 2 rows of colored spots, 5 pairs of blue and 6 pairs of red. The pupae are dark brown and hairy and about 2 inches long. Large populations of spongy moth caterpillars can defoliate trees and shrubs, leading to stress, weakened growth, and increased vulnerability to other pests and diseases. They are attracted to oak, willow, apple, crabapple, white birch, white witch hazel, mountain ash, basswood, linden, pine, Douglas fir, and spruce, but will feed on a wide variety of trees, including maple, cherry, walnut, hickory, and chestnut. The recommended actions to take is manual removal using gloves or trapping, putting a burlap cloth flap trap or sticky trap on a tree. Go to the City of Hudson's Facebook page for more information about the spongy moth infestation locally.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.